Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Yeah, welcome to Warriors 24/7. I am Cyrus Sotz. Rick Barry was originally supposed to join us. He might jump in. His flight got delayed. He's doing some sort of podcast, radio hit with Ralph Sampson. The good news for that is Ralph's going to come on our show at some point. But it doesn't matter because I got my old KNBR compadre, my dude, you and I. If you wake up at 3:30 in the morning with anyone else in your life and you work with that person for 3 years, there's a permanent bond there. There is a blood kinship that you just cannot match with anyone else because of the misery you two have experienced together for those 3 years and the drama and the craziness. Chris Townsend is joining me. Chris, great to have you on the show, brother. How are you, man? Been a while.
3:45 in the morning, just flying up 101.
All right, it's time to take a quick break to talk about our longtime official sponsor, Bet Online. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on for another football season. And as always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Not to mention the baseball playoffs are here. Basketball season's weeks away, and newsflash, folks, you can bet on preseason games. And with the new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, Bet Online continues to be the number one source for everything football, baseball, and of course, what we cover the most here, basketball. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code BELIEVE. BLEAV to receive your bonus from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts. So a huge reason why you're on this podcast is because even though you're doing the A's thing, and I'm so happy for you, and I want you to talk about that, obviously, because that's, to me, that's a perfect fit for you, being the voice of the Oakland A's on their digital streaming platform, which is really, they're so ahead of the curve. We'll talk about that in a moment. But you are the Warriors insider for I don't know how many years for their flagship station now, The Game, which makes you the permanent expert, in my opinion. But anyway, how are you doing, man? What's going on with you?
I'm doing good, and it's great to see you. And, well, obviously not thrilled that we didn't make the playoffs for a four straight year. We kind of leaked oil down the stretch. It was kind of tough to watch as we thought the A's should be in the postseason and just came up short. And, you know, this isn't the NBA where you got eight teams from the West and eight teams from the East or the NHL. You know, when I also worked for the Oakland Raiders for years, you know, making the playoffs for baseball and football is really, really tough. And when you play 162 games, you know, you're going to get exposed, and you can, and there's like the good part of it, where you'll see your strengths, but you're going to see everybody's weaknesses too. To get there to the finish line is such a big deal. And, you know, we're coming on before, you know, where we live in the Bay Area. I know a lot of Warrior fans in the Bay Area will understand this. We have never seen the Giants and the Dodgers play in the postseason. They're one of the great rivalries in the history of sports, dating back to New York to where we are today in San Francisco and Los Angeles. And game five is going to be in about an hour and a half. I mean, this is the biggest Giants-Dodger game of all time. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It is crazy. And we're recording this on October 14th at 4:30. And you're right, game five of Giants-Dodgers coming up. But what about, so first of all, where did Billy Beane go? I'm not following baseball like I used to, and we'll obviously talk Warriors a lot, but you and Billy Beane, you and Brett Hayward were tight. Where did he go, and what is your role now with the A's? Promote away, please.
All right, so Billy's still the vice president of baseball operations, so Billy Beane is still with the A's.
Oh, great. Okay, there you go there.
Yeah, right, that. And okay. What happened was, so when I was working at 95.7 The Game, I had like the craziest schedule. It was crazy. Okay. So I was the A's guy. I was the Raiders guy and I was the Warriors guy. And originally it was just supposed to be because the last time I covered the Warriors on KMBR was back when they were awful. Right. And they were bad. Right. And I was glad to get away from the Warriors, but my boss calls me in and he says, "Hey, I need a favor. I need you to make the Warriors sound like the Raiders do on Sundays." How, you know, Bill Romanowski and I are getting everybody fired up and everything. And I went, "All right." So I actually, you can't make this up. On a full-time basis was doing A's, Raiders, and Warriors at the same time. So there were Warrior playoff games and finals that I would do the pregame show for the Warriors, then walk down the bowels of the Coliseum, walk up to the treehouse, do the A's pregame, and then walk back down and do a playoff game, finals game, and the postgame show. So I would do a baseball game and an NBA game on two different channels in the same day. And at some point, and then I started traveling with the Raiders because I did the Raiders pre and postgame show for a long, long time. I did every Raiders show. I did Raider Nation Live. I did them all.
Is all the old school guys like Atkinson and Jake? He's still there, huh?
We would have Tom Flores on, the new Hall of Famer.
Yes.
I did Raiders Roundtable. I mean, I was the last of the Mohicans before the Raiders left. But yeah, once I started traveling with the Raiders, it got to a point I didn't see my family. Mm. It got to burnout. And the A's were leaving 95.7 The Game. And the A's, and I've always been following the A's, wherever they station, they go, I go. And I'm very proud to be the A's guy. And the A's went, "You're coming with us." And so I signed with the A's and I've been with them ever since. And my role just continues to grow. And my old boss, Matt Pearl, said, "I got an idea. What do you think of this?" And the idea was to create a 24/7 streaming station, which at that time was on TuneIn.
Right.
And we essentially have a 24 hours of content for A's baseball. Well, then it evolved because that opening day, I did a 4-hour live, first time we ever went live on A's Cast, and the president and the CEO, the COO, everybody came on and went, "Oh, we need to do this now." And I went, "What? We're just starting the season. You want to start a live talk show?" And so they're, you know, I got a 5-day-a-week talk show. I'm on 7 days a week because on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, doing pre and post. I also do hits inside the broadcast. But we are the number one podcast in Major League Baseball. No one even comes close to us. At one point last year, we got over 3 million downloads. So damn. You can listen to my talk show live, but then we have all these podcasts that you can download. So no one even touches us. So this is the future of our industry. As we know, AM radio is dying.
Dead. Yes.
And FM radio is not far behind. So, but you know, I was hoping I'd see Rick because I haven't seen, you know, I've had Rick on my shows, but.
There you go. Speak of the devil. Him? You just literally said that. And here is Rick Barry. Well, he's about to jump in. Rick, are you there?
I am here. Hello, Chris. How you doing?
Rick, I was just telling the story. We'll never forget when they said you were coming back to KMBR, and it was I was doing the morning show with Gary Radnich, And I remember Bob Agnew pulled me in. He goes, "You're going to do this show with Rick Barry." And I was like, "Are you kidding me? I'm doing the show with Rick Barry." And it was, we had so much fun, and what a run you had. And I remember all the times we talked about baseball. I mean, obviously you were a great golfer, but to help you get back into the radio business, I'll always be proud of that.
Rick, where are you right now? Are you at home?
I'm back. I finally got home. Yeah. Sorry for that. If the plane was late, you know, when you're at the birth of the airlines, and thank God I wasn't on Southwest, I guess, because they canceled all their flights for a while. It's crazy. Anyway, so congratulations on your outstanding career that you've had in the broadcasting world, because I was with you and Cyrus both when you guys were kind of fledglings.
Yeah. Well, Townsend had a few years in his, under his belt already. I was a literal fledgling.
But Townsend had been doing some stuff, but you were a rookie. Yeah, for sure. You were a rookie. But I'll tell you what, though, Chris, Cyrus knew his freaking hockey. I can tell you that.
That's crazy. So, first of all, man, you're talking about the 21st century and how the A's are like totally pioneers and broadcasting all their games, you know, with streaming platforms. But how can people find it? Like you said, you're not on TuneIn anymore. Like how can people find your podcast?
Well, we switched over TuneIn, you know, it ended up happening, you know, to pull you behind the curtain. Yeah. TuneIn stopped paying their bills with Major League Baseball. So that contract went down the drain, and we're now, you can either get us on iHeartRadio or you go to athletics.com/A'scast, basically the A's website. So you can get everything there. And I'll tell you, before COVID hit, we were down at the winter meetings in San Diego. Every single team, of course, except the Giants, every single team came to us and said, "How's it going? How's everything? How are you monetizing it?" Because all these teams understand this is the future. Like if the Warriors ever wanted to do that, they have so much content, for God's sakes. I mean, look what you guys are doing. You guys could have a great show on there. But yeah, every team in baseball knows. And I can tell you almost every single series that we have with the A's, the opposing team, their PR guy or someone or a play-by-play guy comes up and they ask us questions because they all want to start doing this. So I'm proud that we're the first of the, you know, we're the first ones in the pool, and it has worked.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's amazing what can be done. And just like for me with my kids, my son Canyon, and he went overseas to play, that I'm watching his games freaking overseas, playing in China, playing in other places, and you get to watch the games. It's crazy. Even with him doing 3x3 and playing in the World Cup and all, I'm watching the games back here. So it's, technology is unbelievable, but everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. Oh my God, I just got one today. A guy wants to have me do show. He's doing shows with basketball players. He's in Poland. He's in Poland doing shows on NBA basketball from Poland. And I did one from another guy from Czechoslovakia. I mean, so the world has become very small these days. So anyway, we'll see what it is. So let me,
I'll give you a good idea about what we're talking about with that. Like, so now baseball is now having these YouTube games, and you can look down below at the counter and you can actually see how many people are watching at that time. Right. And there was a game. Mark Langston told us there was a game when Shohei Ohtani was pitching that they had 6 million people around the world watching this game on YouTube.
Damn. Isn't that amazing?
That's a regular season baseball game, Anaheim versus whoever the hell they're playing. 6 million people. It's unbelievable.
Well, I mean, come on. There are more basketball fans in China than there are people in the United States.
Wow.
Did you know that? Yeah.
That's that situation. Does China still hate the NBA? Like, did that ever get resolved, by the way? I mean, Daryl Morey dropped that tweet and it caused almost like a nuclear bomb. Like, what did that ever get resolved? I have no idea.
I think it's kind of smoothed itself out a little bit here. But that was a that was a big time reaction. Cost the NBA, you know, probably $1 billion or more. It was unbelievable. But I'm going to have to jump off because I was supposed to do something before this, but my plane was late, and I'm going to do something. Ralph Sampson's got a podcast or something.
Who doesn't? Before you go, real quick, Townsend brought something up when we were texting prior to the show that you used to be a baseball player yourself. You briefly talked about that on our show. Go into that. Like what, how long did you play?
Much better baseball player in high school.
And then Townsend. Yeah, no doubt about that. But
I know. Townsend, you played baseball when you were younger?
I played baseball at San Jose State.
Oh, great. So that's good. What position did you play?
I was a pitcher.
Oh, same with me. Pitch, first base. I used to play center field, Willie Mays, 24, right? The big story I have to people who probably heard it a lot. But the thing is, I said, shit, I'm an A-type personality. I could play the whole game and never get a ball. I mean, realistically, that can happen. You could be playing center field and never have a ball to hit you in 9 innings.
Hey, let me tell you one quick story before you leave. I'll never forget. At that point, it was called, I think it was called Pac Bell Park or SBC Park. I'll never forget. We were down by the Giants dugout and Barry Bonds turns around. And you know, Barry Bonds doesn't give anybody respect. Barry Bonds gave one guy respect and you had a conversation with him in game. That's Rick Barry.
Yeah, well, if you remember, he came on my show for full 3 hours after he hit the home run, broke the record, broke the news of the death threats that he had, which he had never spoken about before. I remember that. I've got that, and I still have the recording of that show. And that was really good because I was able to give him the other side of the story, even like for his wife when they had a story about when they're down and about the hotel and this is blah, 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 and let her tell the story because there's always two sides to every story. And you need to hear both sides before you make up your mind as to which one you want to believe and how you want to lean. And that's the unfortunate thing in this country. People hear somebody talking about something, they listen to him and they don't necessarily hear the other side of the story. And maybe it's a biased opinion that they have. And I just wish that we get away from that and all. So, I had something I was going to try to do, a TV show and everything. I always wanted to do it. And I wanted to do an NBA and it called Nothing But the Truth. I mean, because there's so much BS going on out there in all walks of life. You just don't know what to believe nowadays. You really, truly don't, which is sad. So,
yeah, that is true.
So real quickly, what do you think? I want to hear from you before I jump on and go with Ralph. What do you think about the Warriors this year? What are you looking at?
You know, I was thinking about that coming on because, you know, I covered the last two championship teams. And Rick, I think the big difference was, you know, when you look at Steph Curry, and you look at Klay Thompson and you look at Draymond Green, where they were drafted, if people would have known that they would be this good, they all would have been drafted higher. They all would have got paid more. And the thing about those championship teams, and which allowed them to bring on Kevin Durant, is not everybody was making the big money yet. But at some point, when you start winning all these championships and going to all-star games and everything, they're in that point to where there's only so much money to pay the top guys that the depth in the team isn't what it used to be. So but I think the one thing for me, and he was always the guy that I said, hey, everybody's going to love Steph. Everybody loves how tough Draymond is. Kevin Durant's an absolute star, but a rock is Klay Thompson. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the way he can play offense, the way he can play defense, the way he D's up the best guard, and the way once he gets hot and he gets going. I mean, they've missed him so much. I mean, he's such a cool customer, a big part. So if he's back and healthy and you still got that core three, they're going to have a shot.
Yeah, and it's all going to be about how well the other people play. We talked about it. I was not a big fan when he first came up with Jordan Poole, but he had a revelation somewhere along the road. I think when they sent him down to the G League, all of a sudden he realized that, you know, hey, wait a second, this might not be as easy as I thought it was going to be. And whatever he did and whatever happened in his head, he's a different basketball player now. He's playing at a crazy level right now. If he maintains anything even reasonably close to that, I think that's a huge plus for them. And then it's just a matter of what the development's going to be for Wiseman, because my main concern is size. What are you going to do against some, you know, people who have some size? I mean, you know, small ball is great to a certain extent, but you got to have some people to protect that dang rim for you every once in a while.
Absolutely. And by the way,
Rick Barry taught me one thing. Championships win defense. Always said that.
Well, you mean defense win championships, but I follow. Yes. Yeah.
What did I say?
You said
what happened to you there?
I was dyslexic. You're dyslexic, so that's okay.
Defense wins championships.
You want answers? No. I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And the truth of it is, you can't, you're not going to, nobody, that's the redeeming thing for the NBA for me. No team in all of the years I've watched it, been a fan, broadcast, no team has won a championship in the NBA that wasn't a good defensive team. You don't have to be necessarily the best, but if you're not a good defensive team, you are not winning an NBA championship, and nobody has done it. And so that's going to be a key element for this Warriors team, how their bench is going to go. But they have to make, as a team, a total all-out commitment to being the best team defense they can possibly be to give themselves a shot at it.
So. Totally. Championships win defense. You know, we got to follow that. By the way, you know, we've been playing the same five sound effects on the show for 2 years, and I just added something new. Every time we mention Jordan Poole now.
Oh. Shit, if this is going to be that kind of party, I'm going to stick my dick in the mashed potato.
All right.
The sound bite you've chosen, I'll try not to mention his name too often. Hey, Chris, great to see you. Enjoy the rest of your time with Cyrus. Thanks for handling this, but I got to take care of my fellow Hall of Famer, Ralph Sampson.
So. Yeah, no. Hey, it's great to see you, Rick. Be well.
Nice to see you, too. Look forward to seeing you in person sometime. Take care. Bye-bye.
And that was the Hall of Famer, Rick Barry, jumping in real quick, making his presence felt. Dude, by the way, Townsend, dude, what's going on with your Twitter account? Because I was about to, like, hype you up, like, every guest.
I've been kicked off.
But your account's right there. If you go to @TownsendRadio, your account is there.
But if you see, they took away my blue check mark.
Yes.
And they erased everybody I'm following. So what happened is, one day I try, and normally you just click on the app and it goes to your account.
Right.
It won't allow me to do it. And so I started going through their process, and I kept that process where you're like, hey, I can't get into my account. I guess I've been hacked. And little by little, they took my blue check mark away. Then they zapped all the people I'm following, but you've noticed they haven't gotten rid of the account. So then I get an email finally after, like, and I'm constantly going after, right? Finally, like 2 months, I get an email saying, we can't verify this is you. You cannot use this account. You can open another account. Now I'm thinking, like, how did I get canceled? All I'm tweeting about is baseball, and specifically my show in A's baseball.
Yes. So what happened? They didn't give you an explanation?
No.
There's, do you want me to look into it? I mean, I don't mind using my social. I mean, you have an account with 20,000 followers on there.
Oh, I've lost followers, but it says I'm not following anybody. Zero.
Yeah, it does. I saw that. I thought that was just a big league move on your part. Like, hey, look, I'm not following anybody. Well, I thought you intentionally did that.
There's things that have gone on because we got a stadium issue and all that. People think like I've become this coward and I don't want to be on Twitter anymore. It's like, no. I've been canceled and there's nothing I can do. You can't call Twitter. There's no 1-800 Twitter and go, hey, what's the deal? How
they
do you
get a chat though? They have a chat and they have other ways you can contact them. Cause dude, you've got to be on Twitter, man. I mean, your entire presence is digital. That's like the easiest way to promote all your content.
So I am getting a little dummy account that all I do is follow people that I only follow people now, and I don't even promote it. Cause I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do this, I only follow people who give me information that I can use for my show.
So you're a smart user of Twitter. That's how I teach Twitter to my students. Yeah. You could actually use it to consume information, but you're such a huge personality. I mean, for the people listening to this, here's what I've always said about Chris Townsend. If you just were yourself 100%, and I know for a long time you couldn't because of radio and restrictions and obscenity laws. And obviously, look, man, if you're just yourself 100% of the time, you could be John Gruden, for example. I mean, we never went that extreme, but the point is, man, you're one of the funniest people I've ever known in my life, still to this day. You make me laugh just from fucking saying like two words. And your Twitter account, I'm just in shock that your Twitter account,
you can figure
like
that out, I'll take you on vacation.
All right, deal. I will figure that out for you, man, because here's my guess. My guess is somebody tried to hack you, and then the email account you registered your Twitter account with was with the game. That's how they verified you, right? Because Twitter verifies people based on the suffix.
No,
it was a
Gmail account. I've had that account for years.
All right. Well, okay. There goes that theory. Yeah, I'll help you out, man. I'll figure that out for you. I mean, they have, because I've gone through issues like that too. But dude, you lost the blue check mark. That's messed up.
Well, but I gotta tell you though, I really haven't been on Facebook. Twitter. The only thing I'm trying is to get information from the certain baseball guys, right?
Right.
It's kind of refreshing that not being in that world. It's, I got to tell you, I know some people look at like these old guys and like, how are you not on Twitter? But here's the thing. So I got 15-year-old twin girls.
They're 15 now?
They're 15, about to be 16.
Did you buy a gun yet? I mean, that's always.
No, I bought them a car. That's the first thing.
Well,
I did.
No, for yourself. So that any prospective individuals know you are an armed individual, right? I mean, I always feel like that's my theory behind it, but. So you don't own a gun?
No.
You're doing okay. Okay.
Yeah, no. Okay, I got a ton of bats and golf clubs though. right. I'm like, my kids, this is why I'm not that. If you can, once again, I'll take you on vacation. We'll go somewhere, have a great time. If you can get me, you get my Twitter account back, get my check mark back, and everybody follow. But you know what? That's a dying platform too, boy.
No, it's not. Well, why do you say that? it's not dying. It might not be a growth might have is not where it was, but it's not like you're losing followers either. What do you describe?
People wouldn't have thought that about Facebook 5 years ago.
But why is Twitter on the decline? Is it because of all the right wingers?
No, because my kids think that's for old people.
They think TikTok and Instagram's the two things, right? And Snap, right? Isn't that what
they're starting to think like Instagram, like dude, this is the new generation of kids. Yeah, we'll be older and we'll be on Twitter. They're not.
So what are they using? Twitter's never really been like a kid's platform though. That's why I don't buy into that too much. It's because
getting older. I'm about to be 50. How old are you?
That's crazy, dude. 43.
Young kids are not signing up for Twitter.
You look amazing, by the way. Your head of hair is exactly the same. Congratulations on that.
But that's, you know what? Think about 10 years, like X amount of years ago, you would have never thought like think about how big. I'll take you back. Maybe I should help your class. Who's on MySpace now?
MySpace.
Do you know in 20 years, Facebook will be MySpace?
Yeah. So what are your kids using now? TikTok, right? I mean, they got to be touching that.
Yeah, they love TikTok. And yeah, by the way, TikTok, when they get older, TikTok will be old. There's always going to be something. These guys, where I live in Silicon Valley, I live just right down, not far from Apple. And
right.
I'm telling you, the way they keep going, right? You know, Google is a search engine, but they bought YouTube. They always keep acquiring these platforms. That's why these venture capitalists up on Sand Hill Road, right next to Stanford, they invest in these companies. These companies get big, and then the big boys buy them out, and those smaller companies ride off in the sunset with billions of dollars. We have seen this transition. But let me tell you something. I don't know what the next TikTok is, but it'll be here.
Yeah, it will. Twitter's never been for the kids. I don't know if it'll go away, but I hear what you're saying. It's not trendy and popular.
But those kids will become adults.
So let me give you an example, Chris. So one of the assignments I give my students is to create a Twitter account and then make a news list, right? And use it the way you're using it to actually consume information and be an informed member of society. And every time I give this assignment, most of the kids don't use Twitter. And then by the end of it, about half of them are like, wow, I see what the point is of this. There's actually value here. Whereas with like Instagram, where it's just pictures and fun, whereas, you know, these other platforms, Facebook's totally dying. You're right about that. But you might be right. But Twitter still has some prevalence for now. And you might be right, dude. It might just be gone someday. But
Twitter, as long as there's news organizations and you can get your breaking news.
Exactly.
But what is the age? I would love to know this. What is the age of someone that uses TweetDeck, where you got all these Twitter feeds coming down, right? Because at the old station I worked at, everybody was older than I was. You know, it's a generation or a little bit younger. Right. So I don't know that many 30-year-olds who sit there and just watch TweetDeck.
Dude, no one, that's a newsroom thing. No, you're right. No one in the real world is using TweetDeck, but you're right. In newsrooms, that stuff is everywhere. Everyone's got their TweetDeck open, consuming information. Dude, so tell me about, first of all, the A's, another rough year. I'm sorry about that, dude. Let's hope year five will not be another season without the postseason. But the Warriors, you cover this team extensively. You were in that locker room all the time. So you're familiar with these players and you're familiar with this team. Like in your honest opinion, what are they going to do this year, man? I mean, do they have a finals run in them? Let's say everyone's healthy. Let's say Klay comes back Christmas Day and he's 90% of what he was. Similar recovery to Kevin Durant. James Wiseman actually improves and he plays 60 games this year and he does what we need to do. How are the Warriors doing in the postseason? What do you think?
My question is, did the window close? Because they're nowhere near what they used to be.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, they know Kevin. And by the way, do you think Durant is regretting leaving with that mess he's dealing with over there?
But you got to remember how deep that bench was.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't just all the greatest backcourt. You know, it wasn't all just Steph and Klay shooting threes. I mean, they were about defense. They were sound defensively, the way they moved the basketball. And remember, when you look back at the Warriors' run, for the most part, they didn't have major injuries.
No, they didn't. No, they were lucky there.
And that was something that we talked about on the post-game show and the pre-game show all the time. And we would bring on in the pre-game show all these different NBA people. And they would always say, Laurie, you know, one of the things about the Warriors, they are they are a little bit lucky because they haven't really hit that crazy injury bug. And then what happens? Durant, yeah. Klay Thompson. I mean, the only time, I mean, and Steph was, you know, from the ankles getting past that, Steph was pretty healthy. And for the most part, that team was healthy. You know, you're bringing back Andre Iguodala. This isn't the same Andre Iguodala from when they won championships, right? So that's the whole thing. It's I know there's still in our area, there's still the love for the Warriors and, oh, my God, winning a championship. But I don't know how many teams won years ago and then a few years later, oh, now we're going to win again pretty much with the same core. Now, you're going to have to – and that's, you know, one thing the Warriors have always done, they've found diamonds in the rough.
Yeah,
they've got to find a few diamonds in the rough to play with the big three.
Well, Jordan Poole's hopefully one of them.
Which say Moody. I mean, there's
– and the young guys. But then they also got these veterans like Otto Porter Jr., who so far is doing amazing. This Bielecki guy who's 6'10", and he's playing his role. Draymond's actually happy with him. I don't think the rookies are going to even play that much, in all honesty. I think Kuminga is going to be spending time in the G League mostly. And Chioza Rick loves as a bench guy. I mean, you know, we got the Juan Toscano-Anderson who's emerging. I honestly think if Jordan Poole lives up to the hype and he averages 20 plus points a game this year, they could be in this. I really do. Because I don't see who else in the West could just shut him down. You know what I'm saying? But I also see what you're saying about the depth. Those teams had depth. I mean, Sean Livingston, and you're David also West.
You're also talking about best case scenario.
I am. Of course, I'm being optimistic here. Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
I mean, in an 82 game season, normally you're going to have guys get hurt. There's going to be some issues. You know, things have changed, and you know, all these guys are older. They're a few years older from the championship.
I can't believe you're almost 50. You're looking fucking amazing, man. Congratulations on that.
I'm not real happy.
Dude, what about? Who is, man? I mean, staying old sucks. Talk about your restaurant, dude. Your dad, you know, rest in peace, man. And I'm so sorry about all the stuff you've been dealing with your family. But you and your brother carried on the tradition of your family's restaurant in San Diego. Promote the restaurant in Walnut Creek now. Is it still there?
Yeah, we survived. And that was the big thing for anybody in the restaurant, any type of service business, bars, you name it. We were able to survive. The chicken pie shop at Walnut Creek on Arroyo Way. I appreciate you bringing that up. Our restaurant in San Diego is 84 years old. It's the second oldest restaurant in San Diego. And basically,
it's the oldest. What's older? Who beats out?
I don't know. There was a Chinese place that was second. They went out of business. So we vaulted into second. I don't know who is the oldest. But the thing was, we wanted to take the concept of our world famous, as we like to call it, our world famous pie, and then bring more of a fancier type restaurant to where we have a more expanded menu. We have a full bar, and it was survival, man. It was, first of all, everybody was shut down. Then you're like, you can only do takeout. Mm-hmm. And you're looking around the country going, hey, man, they got people eating restaurants and we can only do takeout. So a lot of small businesses weren't real happy with what was going on here. Right.
Did you get one of those loans, those PPP loans or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
Called?
Oh, yeah. You had to. And, you know, you think about like what was happening, we kept hearing the science. No one ever showed you any science. I never saw a sheet of science. I never saw anybody in the news hold up a graphic that had the science. All they could tell you was people are getting it and people are dying. No science. And then there ended up being the proof. And God, I can't remember his name. The governor of New Jersey.
Oh, Christie or the guy before, after him?
No. Christie's been gone for years.
Okay. The current guy. Okay.
Yeah, the current guy came out and said, no proof COVID is being spread in restaurants.
Yeah, I saw some graphics about how like air conditioning systems could blow the virus all over the place. But you're right. That's not a scientific thing. So
no. And then we've built, like a lot of people, we've built, and I, you know, there's certain things that for the restaurant industry, and you could say bars too, that I don't think goes away. One is delivering alcohol. That's not going to go away. That like the toothpaste. The toothpaste is out of the tube. I mean, you ain't putting the toothpaste back once it comes out of the tube. Like people are used to hey, I want a Boilermaker. I want a margarita. I want a vodka tonic. And hell, I want that brought to me, whether it's by Grubhub or you know, Uber Eats. I mean, I like this idea. I want a 6-pack of beer plus my meal. So I don't think that goes away. And then what everybody got creative with was using your sidewalk as a patio and using the parking spots in front of your restaurant as part of the patio.
What's the name?
The restaurant in Walnut Creek.
Yeah.
Chicken Pie Shop of Walnut Creek.
And then so you got a liquor license. Congratulations on that. That's not easy to achieve. And you're making tons of money off that, I hope, because that's where the margins are, right? It's all about
much easier to like turn around and pour an IPA for $8 than it is to actually have a full meal made. But now that's there's things that, you know, a lot of people learn, but unfortunately, you know, I probably the area hit the worst and just, I remember driving around going, look at that hair salon. How do they survive? Dance studio. All these small businesses, at least we were allowed to sell something. Yeah. What are you selling as a dance studio? Cause they wouldn't even allow like a dance studio to be outside in the beginning. Like they had no science. They had I hope someday we really get the reports and somebody's penalized for how they treated us, because there, I hear Los Angeles, and I haven't been there in a long time, but we took the kids down to Pismo Beach, and I was talking to a general manager down in Pismo of a restaurant, great, great seafood place called Crack Crab.
Okay.
And he said to me, he goes, have you been to LA? I go, no. He goes, you wouldn't believe the thousand upon thousand upon thousands of businesses that are gone.
Yeah.
And they're not coming back.
Yeah. That's what I've heard too. And San Francisco's, I haven't been downtown in a little while, but you know, when I go there and when I talk to people who have to work there, it's just the homeless have taken over the entire downtown area. It just smells like piss. No, I mean, look, we could talk about the pandemic all day and the government's rights and wrongs, but every small business owners got totally screwed. I hear you, man. Do you have to pay back that PPP? Like, is that something you have to actually give back? Oh, that's good. Okay. So at least they helped you out. And I hope your landlord was nice, because those are the people that I feel like should also get some attention as well. If you're a landlord and you're forcing people to still pay you rent during a time like this, like, were they screwing you over or?
No. Everybody worked out a deal where basically you're saying, well, not everybody, but if your landlord was smart, you worked out a deal like, hey, listen, I'll pay you a percentage of what I make. And the landlords who basically said, nope, you're paying me full boat.
Right.
They're sitting on an empty box right now.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. They're basically, because if you think there's going to be a ton of small businesses cropping up anytime soon, I mean, basically this was survival of the fittest. You had to survive. So, you think there's going to be a lot of banks that want to loan out money right now?
Dude, I wonder if Uber Eats delivers from Walnut Creek to San Ramon, because that's where I'm at right now. Do you think they'll do that? I want me some chicken pot pie, man. I want some Townsend chicken pot pie. That sounds delicious right now. Drive up.
That's not that far.
Yeah, I might do that. Go up to 680. So are the A's the only team that's doing the online thing still, or are other teams starting to come around and realize
we're the only ones that have basically a station? So every team's got a podcast where it'd be like what you're doing now.
Right.
Two guys, three guys, could be women too, but they have one A podcast and then they upload it to the website and that's the podcast. We're basically a radio station that's streaming. Yeah. We've got so many different shows. We got live shows. We've got stuff nobody else has.
And so why aren't other teams jumping on that boat in terms of the play-by-play aspect of it? Like, what's the hesitation with other teams? Like,
our games are on it.
I know yours are, but why hasn't no one else jumped on that train?
Yeah,
other
teams are streaming, but you know what? Because they're so locked in to terrestrial radio, and they're going to like ride terrestrial radio into the ground. Let me give you a stat that I learned. So for the people who actually listen to the radio, like, young people do not listen to the radio.
No, none of them. I teach college. I always like am up to date on the trends with media because of what they tell me. No one listens to radio.
No one.
No one.
I'll give you. So our old colleague, John Schrader, is teaching at the University of Nebraska.
Yeah, he tried to recruit me there, yes.
And he brought me on, and I could see the classroom. I could see their heads, but they're looking. So I'm seeing them from behind, but they're looking at me on a screen. Right, and I said, I have a test for you. How many of you get the newspaper? Raise your hand. Not one person raised their hand. How many of you have cable? One raised their hand.
I know that's almost dead too.
I said, okay. Yeah. NBC Sports California and NBC Sports Bay Area, they don't even promote themselves. They go, watch the streaming. Then I said, hey, how many of you listen to the radio? And a couple raised their hand. I said, how many listen to AM? Not one.
No.
It's like AM. Baseball traditionally has promoted itself through newspapers, cable. I mean, think about it.
Yeah. No,
radio,
I agree on that.
Newspapers, and all three are dying. And it's like these teams are trying to hold on. It's like they're trying to hold on to the very end. And at some point, you got to hope this is where newspapers screwed up. Newspapers never thought, oh, people are not going to want to walk outside their driveway in their robe and get the newspaper in the morning. They're not going to read it on a computer.
No,
that's ridiculous.
They
were not smart. They didn't adapt as Brad Pitt playing Billy Bean said in Moneyball, an Oscar nominated film, adapt or die.
Oh, he's so right. I really, it surprises me the Warriors aren't doing that. I mean, it's our boy Raymond Ritter. I'm sure they're thinking about it, right? I mean, why involve like this other station where you can't control narrative when you can just do everything in house?
As long as you can keep radio stations duped and they're still just trying to, we'll write you a big check. We'll write you a big check as long as that's still going on, which I don't think goes on very long. I think for a lot of these teams, are like I said, I think they're going to ride that terrestrial radio thing as long as they can.
Yeah.
But at some point, it's going to dry up, and they're going to be – great example is the 49ers. When we were working at KNBR, KGO was paying the 49ers for their rights like $6 million a year.
Crazy.
That dried up. And it's all kind of dry. There's very few, you know, you just think about certain teams. Yeah, I bet the Dallas Cowboys and I bet the New England Patriots with WEEI. I bet there's still some, you know, the Red Sox and Yankees. And I'm sure there's some big market teams that can still milk the money out of a radio station.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of other teams ain't happening.
And I feel like as long as you do that, your demographics is going to stay old, right? You're not looking ahead because no young people are consuming media that way.
I learned this in business.
He's holding up his phone, listeners. Yeah.
I'm holding up my phone. If I can't get you on your phone, I'm not doing good business.
No, you're absolutely right, man. That's why the Twitter game, I'm so on it. And it surprises me that they screwed you over like that. I'm going to help you out, man. And I won't take you up on a trip. Just give me some chicken pot pies. I'll be happy with that.
I'll give you so many chicken pot pies. I never want to eat a chicken pot pie again.
Is your brother running that thing in Walnut Creek, or is he down in San Diego?
No, he's in San Diego. No, I have a business partner who's I actually found him while doing a Raider pre and post game show. I went, this is the guy I want to be in business with. I mean, my guy Henry's phenomenal.
Oh, dude. And Townsend, man, you've always had a very strong business acumen, even in those years where you're like in between radio gigs. You always had crazy ventures going on. So congrats on the restaurant surviving. Again, this was a very hard time, still is, I think, for small businesses and restaurants, especially just anything where you have to be physically present. I feel like the business model is shattered.
By the way, we're going to be dealing with these millennials. And now this Gen Z or whatever,
yeah,
they don't like going out like we do.
No, they don't.
They're kind of hermits and on their computers, and they work all day on a computer. Then they go home and they're on the computer, and they want everything brought to them.
Oh, then my stepson's 10, and all he wants is bring me stuff. I never want to drop my iPad. Oh, he's glued to that thing. Every kid is. So speaking of your daughters, man, I mean, they're 15. What is it like being a dad to teenage twins? describe that situation. Is that a wonderful situation? Are you just stressing every day? Like, what's that like?
No, I don't stress. I mean, you're watching them grow, you know, you're watching them. We just went through a year where they were freshmen in high school and they never left my living room. My wife's a first grade teacher. We had to turn our spare bedroom into a classroom.
Yeah, my future wife's a kindergarten teacher, so I hear you on that. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I want them to go out. I get out of the house. Go get out. You know, I can't imagine. I could never imagine my being at my parents' house 24/7, 7 days a week.
Are you getting out there? You do go out. I haven't gone out much lately. I've kind of become a hermit slash homebody myself. And are you going out? Are you still?
Oh yeah, I've been going out the whole time. I play during the pandemic because remember we only had 60 games. I was playing golf almost every day.
By the way, my game's pretty good now. If you ever want to go out, I can actually hit it straight and far. And I mean, I mess up a lot too.
I'm down to my club, Center Bar Hills. I play all the time during the pandemic. Wasn't even vaccinated yet. I'm like, all right, we have our own cart. We're all, you know, whatever the science says, we're all, you know, we're outside. We're not near each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Our course was doing record rounds. Not one person got COVID.
And are you still rolling with Thompson and Justin and all those guys, the same crew? And who's the third guy? AJ?
Dean. Yeah.
Okay. Dean, they're all, man.
We'll all be at San Jose State, San Diego State tomorrow night.
Oh,
big game. Dude, you got to get out. There's a life out there. You got to be able to get out. It's just to see, you know, it was so disgusting in my neighborhood where you'd be walking your dog and people literally would like cross the street. You're like,
I still do that. Yeah. I'm still.
What are you afraid of? Have you been vaccinated?
Yeah, but I've never liked getting sick. It's just, and then this thing just freaked me out. And I'm like, because I got this liver thing where I can't take cold medicine. So anytime I get sick, I just got to deal with it. And there's nothing that makes me feel better. So I hated getting sick. And this thing just freaked me out, man. And I agree.
Let me
you're
tell
right.
you something. It's right. not gone. So yeah, you're looking at like 3 years of your life.
I know. Like I'm going to Vegas next month and you know, I'm getting out there, but it's just never comfortable, man. So congrats on being comfortable at least. Like that's awesome, dude. Anything you want to promote, dude, it's just great to see you and talk to you. I want to get you back on in a month or two when Rick's more, you know, when he's actually available for a whole show.
Well, when we actually have games to talk about. To come clean, I've been in baseball. I don't have time for preseason basketball.
Right.
Now I got all the time in the world to watch the Warriors and the Sharks. But, you know, you can check out what we're doing tomorrow. We're doing a tribute to Ray Fosse. Unfortunately, Ray passed away.
Well, talk about that, man, because you were close to him. And every Ace fan loved him. I mean, he was one of those guys that just really didn't have, you know, that audience that just kind of disliked him. Right. I mean, he was just universally liked. And yeah, talk about that. I mean, that's he was battling cancer for what, 16 years, right?
16 years, yeah. And none of us knew about it. And he stepped away from the broadcast. And then, I mean, it was shocking. It was devastating. Yeah. And so we're going to honor him tomorrow. Once nice. Again, you go to athletics.com/A'sCast and just hit live. That's where you can listen to the games. You can listen to the pregame, the postgame, and then all of our different podcasts and all we do. Those are all taped. But A's Cast Live, my talk show, it's from one in the off season. We do 1 to 4 and then replay it 4 to 7 for afternoon drive. Oh, we're on nice. Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So during the season, we're on before every game. But during the off season, we go Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So tomorrow we're going to do a full on tribute to the great Ray Fosse.
Oh, that's beautiful. I definitely want to tune in for that. And congrats.
Oh, by the way, you can get us on the iHeartRadio app.
I know. Look at you, man. Clear Channel used to be our big enemy, and now you're promoting yourself on the Empire, who's renamed themselves iHeartRadio. I still have to teach my students that. I'm like, you know, iHeartRadio used to be this vile corporation that was our enemy, and they changed their name to iHeartRadio, and suddenly everyone thinks it's cute. I know you're on there. I apologize, but
no, I who knows? We were on TuneIn.
But are you just iHeartRadio, or are you across all the platforms? Like, are you like an Apple podcast? Can I listen to one of your podcasts there? Or are you just TuneIn? I mean, not TuneIn. Are you just iHeart?
We're on iHeart. But you go to our website. You go to the A's website. That's where you go to athletics.com to go slash A's Cast. And you can get everything.
Perfect. And someday maybe he'll be back on Twitter and you can follow him there at Townsend Radio. Are you on Instagram? You got a big following there?
I'm on Instagram, but I do nothing. I gotcha. Actually get, I you know what I do? I get barbecue and golf tips.
For people who don't know what Townsend looks like, he's like a handsomer version of Kurt Russell. Dude, congrats, man. Did you look, I know. Sorry, man. I am a straight hetero male, but you're looking amazing, brother. Congratulations on that.
I'm trying, man. When I realized, I was just like, oh my God, it's in a couple months and people are asking me, what are we going to do here for your 50th? I'm like, what?
When is that coming up?
March.
I want to be there for that. Please invite me for that. You forget to invite me for everything. At least remember to invite me for your 50th.
That's what I tried to tell you earlier. All the stuff I was doing, I have no life. I had no life. Like everybody, like the only time, any free time I had to be with my children.
I know.
Because I had no free time.
But they're getting older.
Hey, how many games, 162 games, how many do you think I worked?
162. You got work ethic, man. I
did 158.
That. Well, what happened to the four?
I had to take some time off. That's where I take out to go to the beach house and just be with the kids. And yeah, so I mean, I average. And so think about that. Then if you threw on the Raiders and the Warriors on top of that, there was no guy trips. There was none of that. I mean, so now this is like my first, because COVID doesn't count for what happened. Like that was not like, hey, let's go to Vegas or hey, let's go, wherever.
Yeah.
This is my first since I'm not doing Raiders. I mean, once they went to Vegas, but after what everything that's going on, might have been a good time to get out.
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, could you imagine if all those emails get released? If we just saw Gruden and Bruce Allen, who you and I are very familiar with from all the years covering that, the Raiders, and could you imagine what else is in those emails? Like people are shitting their pants right now.
Here's the thing that's dirty. This is what's dirty. Is you can't excuse anything that John Gruden did.
None.
And you cannot believe, but then again, these guys being older and they're sending emails to where we're savvy going, I'm never putting anything in writing.
Ever. Digital footprints are permanent, man. No, you're right. And
like,
brother,
I don't think they ever thought about that.
And you and I have dealt with Gruden a lot. Like when I was working at the Mighty 1090 in San Diego, every training camp he was there hanging out and I talked with him. I never heard anything like that out of his mouth. Like, so
I did the John Gruden show on television.
There you go.
And then I'd be on the sidelines with him. So check this out. This is what's dirty. This is not an investigation of John Gruden. This was an investigation of the Washington Redskins, who are now the Washington football team. Right. So they have 650,000 pages of emails, right? They have 650,000 pages of emails. And the only thing you've released is a couple from John Gruden, who at that time was not an employee of the NFL.
No.
He was ESPN. So it's like, wait a minute. You're going to end up throwing the book, and obviously someone in New York wanted him out.
Oh, Goodell, clearly, because he was talking shit about him. Like,
whoever it is, they wanted him out, but yet there's still 650,000 emails out there.
Dude, I want to see them.
That they've gone through and no one has said anything.
And all the shady shit that team's been doing for how many years? Like, there's got to be.
There's a lawsuit against the Redskins about this, and no one's done anything? You want to know why? Because it ain't just the Redskins. And you're going to have to go team to team. What are you going to throw every owner out of the NFL? Oh, it's scandalous.
They buried this.
They buried it, but they found a couple John Gruden emails.
Oh my God. Go to athletics.com/A's Live. Is that correct?
A's Cast.
I'm so sorry. athletics.com/A's Cast. Although I'm guessing if you just go to athletics.com, you'll see a link right there for it. Chris Townsend, man, you're a legend. I feel like you are literally the most underrated media personality in the Bay Area, just because not enough people know about you. And I don't think enough people have heard you. And You know, unless you're a baseball fan, you're probably not listening to him that much, but I recommend it, man. Again, go to athletics.com/A's Cast, A-S-C-A-S-T, to catch his show. Dude, thank you so much, man, for coming on. It was an absolute pleasure. I'm going to bug you in a few months once the Warriors get some games in, and we'll thoroughly analyze that team and so much more. And I'd love to just talk the shit with you, man. It was fun, dude. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, look how life is. I just got a text. The girls need your computer. It just never ends. It's just high school. It never ends.
Buy a gun. Just, you know, just all right, man. All right. We'll talk soon.
Hey, I now have time. Hey, maybe we'll meet up at the pie shop in Walnut Creek.
Or tell me where and I'll come meet you for a drink, man.
I haven't been up there in months. So
I'll meet you.
Well, I'll meet you up there. All right, buddy. Be well.
You too, man. We'll talk soon.
See ya.
Take care, brother. And that was Chris Townsend, folks, who I love dearly. He's an old friend of mine. We used to work together on the morning show at KNBR from, I believe it was like 2002 to 2005, somewhere in that window. I was originally Rick Barry's executive producer. And then I remember management had me fill in for the morning show. I didn't realize at the time it was an audition. And they took me off Rick's show and put me on the morning show after that. And I remember being so bummed and being so bitter about that, because I loved working with Rick. I loved being his executive producer. I was always a Warriors first guy. But the great thing about switching to mornings at that time was that Townsend and I started to work together. We always did work together, but never on the same show. And it was 3 years of just frivolities and craziness and fun. I don't miss those hours, but I do miss the experience for sure. Anyways, I know we didn't talk Warriors that much in this podcast just because there's so many other things to talk about. And honestly, since our last show that Rick and I did, there really hasn't been much to update you on. The Warriors have one more preseason game before they start the regular season next week. And Rick and I will surely, publish a new show, shortly after that to recap the season opener and, what to expect from there. And before I go, I wanted to provide this quick update on, Klay Thompson. This is a sham bomb. It always amazes me. And Townsend and I just spent, you know, nearly an hour, a lot of it just talking about local media and media consumption in general, but it never ceases to amaze me how our local sports media here in the San Francisco Bay Area just doesn't establish the connections they need to break news and to have the information that our audience wants and needs. I mean, Shams is a national media member. Why is he breaking a story on Klay Thompson instead of one of our local media members? And I'm not calling every local media member out, like you know, Rusty Simmons, love you, and Connor Letourneau, love you. You know, there's a few of you out there that do a legitimate, great job covering the Warriors and covering local media, but it really should be someone locally breaking these kind of stories. Anyways, this is an update on Klay Thompson and when we should expect him to come back. And at least come back to practice.
Yeah, I'm told Klay Thompson will be cleared for full practice over the next month or so. And from there, is this going to be about him ramping up and, you know, him rehabbing, continue to figure out, you know, at what pace do they want to bring him back? And when do they feel comfortable with him back? You know, it's not just going to be he gets cleared for practice after, you know, two major injuries and then just goes into playing. So there will be a ramp up period. I would look somewhere in the December, January range for his return. But the Warriors will be cautious. They've been doing a lot of data and science and leaning a lot on data and science, I'm told. So I would expect them to continue to do that. But for him to be cleared for full practice over the next month, that is optimistic news. And then you have him back in the lineup. Jordan Poole's playing amazing basketball so far in preseason. So there is hope, you know, for this Warriors season.
Anyways, thank you so much for listening. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at DocSurfRocho. You can follow the program on Twitter and on all social media platforms at Warriors24Pod. You can follow Rick Barry on all of his social media platforms at Rick24Barry. Sincerest thanks to Rick for coming on. And until the next time, take care.
Shit, if this gonna be that kind of party, I'm gonna stick my dick in the mashed potato.
Presented by Bet Online.
Get out. ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today. Save